I'm John Batchelor, visiting with two professors of epidemiology who are helping me understand there's a direct relationship between prosperity and health and conduct, rules, law and order, all of that. I'm thinking of the homeless of California, a result of income inequality. What is to be done? Professor Richard Wilkinson, emeritus, visiting professor of social epidemiology, Department of Health Sciences, University of York, University of Nottingham, Northumbria University, and University College. That's a whole lot of smarts. And Kate Pickett, professor of epidemiology, Department of Health Sciences, University of York. Professor Wilkinson, I start with you. Your first recommendation is, I guess, what you'd say, recognize something must be done. Because there's a whole lot of people in this country who would argue that's liberty for you. What is it that we can do immediately in the United States to begin to redress this historically getting worse problem?
We have to reduce inequalities both in income and wealth. They both matter. Really this problem has run away with us since about the late 1970s or 1980. Our societies have changed and become more antisocial. There are two ways, really, of reducing income inequality. One is to redistribute income through taxes and benefits. They have been dramatically reduced at the top income levels since 1980. But we also have to make the differences in incomes before taxes smaller. The main reason why income differences have got bigger is a rise in income differences before taxes. I think we can tackle that by extending forms of, if you like, economic democracy into the workplace. Our democracies are getting increasingly meaningless, confined to the political sphere. If people have more say in the workplace, through employee representation on the boards, employee share ownership, incentives to the formation of cooperatives and employee-owned companies. It seems to result, amongst other things, in smaller income differences amongst their employees. You know, you might think your boss should get two or three, maybe five times as much as you, but you don't think he should get 100 or 200 times as much.
Professor Pickett, you recommend an untried possibility, consumption tax, which you define as calculated on the basis of personal income minus savings. How would that work for all of us?
I think there are lots of possibilities for consumption taxes, actually, including carbon taxes in there. I think rather than prescribing one particular recipe, what we really need is greater recognition of inequality as a problem so that we can start to have the kind of grown-up public discussions and debates about what kind of solutions might best suit a particular context. So what Richard was talking about was extending economic democracy in all its forms. You could combine that with more progressive taxation. You could introduce new taxes like a consumption tax, including perhaps one that was related to environmental issues. In a way, what you need, and maybe this is an appropriate word because the Scandinavians do seem to be doing it better than the rest of us, you need a smorgasbord of choices so that decisions can be made about the solutions that best suit a particular context. And go on, Richard, sorry.
I have to do this for environmental reasons as well as the social reasons we've been talking about, because the 1% richest in the world, their carbon footprint is the same as something like the bottom 2/3 of the world's population. It's an astonishing inequality, and of course it's that is making the environmental problem so severe. We sometimes say you can't tackle the environmental crisis without tackling inequality as well.
Professor Wilkinson, is there a recognition in the Scandinavian countries I mentioned that they're doing well? Do they have a sense of self-worth? despite this success they've had with leveling in some fashion?
Well, there are a few studies which suggest that people are less bothered by inequality. There's a study of what's called status anxiety, which is basically your worries about how you're seen and judged by others. And all income groups seem to have more worries about how they're seen and judged in more unequal countries. Everyone seems to do better, from the poorest tenth of the population right through to the richest tenth of the population, if those income differences are smaller.
And Professor Pickett, we have about a minute. Does the United Kingdom have self-awareness of this bad outcome from disparity?
Not as much as we would like. Decade after decade in surveys, the British public do believe that income differences are too large, and they do overwhelmingly believe that government should do something about them, but they consistently underestimate how big the problem actually is.
Professor Richard G. Wilkinson, Emeritus Visiting Professor of Social Epidemiology in the Department of Health Sciences. We've been doing social epidemiology. University of York, University of Nottingham, Northumbria University and University College. And Kate Pickett, Professor of Epidemiology, Department of Health, University of York, writing in Nature magazine, most recently, Why the World Cannot Afford the Rich is the provocative title given it by the magazine. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,